This morning, thank you. And I appreciate Pastor Dan shepherding us through that moment when we're all praying for Dave. We need to continue to do that. I understand that he is stable and coherent and on his way to receive the help he needs. So we're grateful for that and appreciate your continued prayer for Dave Dagwell and for Deb. We're going to be having three men baptized in just a little while, and I'm going to keep my message very short in light of all that's been going on here this morning. So if those who are going to be baptized would go prepare now, and because it won't be just a few minutes and we'll be ready to do that. So if you are one of those who needs to go get ready, please go do that. You've already heard some of the scripture read that I was going to be referring to this morning. Luke tells the story in chapter 24 of the women coming to the tomb that morning. They certainly weren't coming to a sunrise service. As far as they knew, they were going to take care of a corpse. Their dear friend Jesus had died. He'd been crucified. And because the time of day was the day of preparation just prior to the Sabbath and it was late in the day, by the time he was placed in the tomb, there wasn't enough time left in that day to complete the burial arrangements. And so they were coming back now on the first day of the week to do that. In the pre-dawn hours, with the sky just beginning to grow light, this group of women are making their way to the cemetery. There's no thought in any of their mind, I wonder if when we get there, it'll be true what he said, that he won't be there, he'll be raised from the dead. No one is thinking that way. The disciples aren't thinking that way. These women were not thinking that way. Ironically, the only ones who seemed to be thinking that way at all were the very ones responsible for his crucifixion. Matthew tells us that the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders went to Pilate and said, look, this deceiver once claimed that after his death, 3 days later, he was going to rise again. So we better make sure that nobody goes and steals the body and makes that kind of a claim. So Pilate agreed, and they sealed the tomb and posted a guard there. Probably the women were unaware of that. But by the time they make their arrival at the tomb on Sunday morning, the first day of the week after the Jewish Sabbath, they discover that the guards have already deserted, and the tomb is open. The stone is rolled back. And so they go in and, much to their dismay, discover that the body's gone. They're wondering about that. One translator says they're at a total loss, that they have no understanding of what's going on here. But the story unfolds, and the angel comes and tells them exactly what has happened, that they're in the wrong place, that they're looking for the living among the dead. They shouldn't be in a cemetery. Jesus is not here. And the angel reminds the women of what Jesus had said. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. J.B. Phillips translates that portion of the text. Then they did remember what he had said and turned their backs on the tomb and went and told all this to the 11 and the others. I love that rather poetic way of saying, then they did remember what he said, and they turned their backs on the tomb. They realized, oh, we are in the wrong place. We came as mourners to a cemetery. In fact, Jesus is not here. He's risen from the dead. And so they go and report everything that has happened. This happens in history. It happens in history. Paul says in his great chapter on the subject of resurrection, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that if this is not historically true, then Christianity is not true at all. Here's what he says as he's talking about the resurrection. He says, what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep or some have died. But most of these eyewitnesses are still living. The book of 1 Corinthians was written in the spring of either the year 53, 54, or 55. And so it's now about 20 or 25 years after these events. And Paul is saying, we can be sure of this. In fact, most of the eyewitnesses are still around to verify what we're saying here. And then he goes on down in verse 14 to say, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we're found to be false witnesses, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. And then he goes on to say, if this isn't true, we are of all men most to be pitied. If this is not historically true, then it's not true at all, and the whole thing collapses. It's simply not correct for us to say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter whether it happened in history or not. What matters is that it's somehow meaningful to me and it's my truth and I believe it and therefore it ministers to me. No, that will never work. Paul says you're to be pitied. He says we need to believe this because it's true. And he talks more about that. As we think about the resurrection this morning for just these moments, that we think about in these three tenses, the one tense, the past tense, it happened in history on a day. If you'd been there, you could have seen it. It happened in the past, 2,000 years ago. Paul then goes on in 1 Corinthians to talk about what will happen in the future. He says that Christ is the first fruits of those who sleep. Because he's risen, we too one day will be raised with him. The trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise, incorruptible. We'll be having new glorious bodies like the glorified body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not resuscitated, he's resurrected. He doesn't just come back to life for a little while to die again. He is born to a new kind of life, a new kind of body, a glorified body fit for heaven. These bodies of ours are earth suits. They work well for a while here on earth before they wear out, but they're attuned to earth, earth's atmosphere, earth's air pressure, earth's temperature range, earth's gravitational pull. Everything about these bodies are custom built for life here on planet earth. It's not going to work in the heavenly realm, and that's why when Moses comes to God and says, Lord, show me your glory, God says, I can't do that. If I do, it'll kill you. You're not ready for that. You physically would not withstand that experience. So that's when God hides Moses in the cleft of the rock and passes with his back to you. Remember that passage. But one day, we're going to receive a new body. Those who know Christ as their Savior, but we resurrected to a glorified body to be with the Lord forever. Now, we must also pause and give this word of warning that the scripture also says that those who do not know Christ will also be resurrected, but not to be in the presence of the Lord forever, but to be eternally separated from him in what the scripture refers to as the outer darkness, forever apart from the Lord. So there's resurrection past. Jesus was resurrected in history. There's resurrection future. One day there will be a day of resurrection when the trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will be raised. But there is also something the Word of God speaks about resurrection life right now for those who know the Lord. You see, to be a Christian is not simply to say, yes, I believe all that. Yes, I believe that he rose. Yes, I believe he died for my sin. To be a Christian is to be in a relationship right now, today, with this risen, resurrected, living Savior. And to experience his resurrection life now in us. To be a Christian is not just to be able to check off the right boxes of what you believe, though that is important, but it's a life of fullness, living a living Savior who is ours now. And Paul says in Colossians, you have been raised with Christ. Not just you will be one day raised with Christ, but you who are a believer, you've come from death to life, you have been raised to new life with Christ. Paul in Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says, just as Christ was raised from the dead, you too may live a new life. just as Christ was raised from the dead. It's not a matter of, I know that Jesus forgave me for my sin, I'm so grateful, I know that if I'm going to die, I'm going to go to heaven. Now I have to try the best I can to somehow please him and try somehow to live like a Christian here on earth. No, no, no. You don't have to try the best you can. You'll never do that. It's impossible. You'll never live a Christian life by trying the best you can. You can only do this when you have Christ in you. When there's risen Christ who now you are in relationship with. And that's why Paul says it's Christ in us. This is the hope of glory. Now, all of that is pictured so vividly in baptism. And I want you to know what you're going to be seeing in just a moment. Here's how Paul describes it in chapter 6 of Romans, verse 3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. And the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Here's Paul saying, look, here's how God sees you. When Christ died for your sin, when Christ rose again, you are now in Christ. So when Christ looks at you, when the Father looks at you, he looks at you as if it was you who died, as if it was you who'd been raised to life. It wasn't. It was Christ. He did it for you. But when the Father sees you, he sees as if the death and resurrection has occurred in you. And now Paul is saying, since he sees you that way, since that's who you are, since that's your identity in Christ, now be that. Reckon yourselves or consider yourselves or count yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive in Christ. And Paul says, that's what we're seeing in the waters of baptism. As we go down into the water, the picture of death, burial. As we come up out of the water, the picture of resurrection, new life. And it's with joy we celebrate that this morning. So those who are going to be baptized are, first of all, David Volstead. And David is going to be baptized by his dad, Rob. And we are just so grateful for what the Lord has been doing there. And David will bear testimony to that. And then Eric Stieber will be baptizing his son, Adam. And we're so delighted to share in that important moment in Adam's life as well. And then Pastor Dan will also be baptizing Jason Hosanitz. Let's bow in prayer for these. Father, we thank you so much for this day of resurrection, this day of new life. Lord, we need resurrection life in us. Lord, I pray that this will be a day that will not leave us unchanged. That, Lord, we will cry out to you, the one who died for us, the one who rose again from the dead for us, the one who is our life, the one who is our victory. Father, we thank you for these who are following you in this step of obedience this morning, for David and Adam and Jason. And we pray that even as we hear them bear witness to what you're doing in their lives, we would open our hearts wide up to say, Lord, do it for me as well. Lord, may this be a day of resurrection, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.